thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Dr. McCain, my name is Frank Bedell. I'm a class of 1980, and it's my pleasure today to read a resolution that has been adopted by the CIU board, the faculty and staff, and the Alumni Association of CIU. Please allow me to read this. Whereas Danny of the seminary class of 1974 has fully lived the motto to know him and to make him known, and whereas Danny has served as a missionary, professor, preacher, and author, whereas Danny founded the world-renowned International Institute for Christian Studies, now called Global Scholars, and whereas Danny serves as New Testament professor at University of Jos, Nigeria, and whereas Danny co-founded and is chairman of Africa Christian Textbooks, and has written over 25 books and manuals, and whereas Danny developed an in-service training program for Christian religious education teachers, and whereas Danny led in developing and implementing a Christian Muslim faith-based HIV/AIDS curriculum for public schools, and whereas Danny is known throughout Nigeria as both a successful academic and effective preacher, and whereas Danny received a BA in biblical education, a MA in Bible, and a MA in theology, and PhD in New Testament interpretation. And finally, whereas Danny and his wife, Mary, have raised 3 children in a godly home, daily modeling for them a love for God, for each other, and for God's work in the world, be it resolved that we, the undersigned members of the board, faculty and staff of Columbia International University and Alumni Association, give thanks to God for Danny McCain and declare him Alumnus of the Year 2020. And that hereby we communicate to him our heartfelt gratitude for exemplifying the values of CIU and for his faithful service to reach and disciple others for Jesus Christ.
We are so honored to have Dr. McCain and Mary. Thank you for your years of service in Nigeria and all across Africa. And we're also happy to have Laura with us. And you may not know this, but she is the medical doctor who will lead all the medicine and starting that on the new carrier, the John F. Kennedy. She will be over all of that. She's Lieutenant Commander, I believe is what they call her. But when I think of Danny McCain, all my life I've heard of him and I've followed him. When I heard about his HIV/AIDS project and his projects with the Muslims, Christians and Muslims working to literally almost wipe out AIDS in one section of Nigeria, when I heard about that and when I heard about his global work, I could only think of the Apostle Paul as he went around the world as a global ambassador for the cause of the kingdom. And students, today, I wanted you here. I know we're spread out in many places, and this place would be more than full if we had everyone here. So we have multiple, we have online. But if you're online or here, I want you to understand something. When you leave CIU, we want you to leave with a global perspective of kingdom work and how God is moving around the world. It took him 12 years, he told you, you heard, to finally figure out that this was his place. But for 30 years, he went and started the Religious Studies Institute. They didn't have one at his university. And that helps support him. So open your minds to what God is doing in these days. God is at work. Thank you, Dr. McCain, Mary, and Laura, for being here today.
President Smith, the members of the board of directors, the alumni office, academic staff, students, alumni, friends, thank you very much for this very special honor. Never dreamed of anything like this until President Smith called me back in January. I am grateful for the influence of Robertson McQuilkin and Mr. Hatch and Dr. Hulbert and Mr. Bedell and others who were very powerful influence in my life. Few people can be successful in this world without a strong team around them. You've met my wife. My daughter represents our other children. There's been a strong family, which has enabled me to do the things that I've been able to do. Many organizations, Global Scholars has supported my ministry in Nigeria for 32 years. I'm grateful for all the members of that organization. I would be ungrateful if I didn't thank the Lord for donors who have donated millions of dollars to support our ministry and various projects. Don and Loretta Burnett are here today. He started the St. Andrew's Evangelical Church, now known as the Hope Church, which have supported our ministry from day one. One of the only two churches who have done that. So it takes a big team to do these kinds of things. I am grateful for the University of Jos, where I have served for the last 29 years, and the Vice Chancellor who gave me permission to be here today. The Department of Religious Studies, Religion and Philosophy has been my home for the last 29 years. And more recently, the Center for Conflict Management and Peace Studies, where I am now the director. My many dozens of colleagues and hundreds of students over the years have been important to this, to our particular ministry. Also, the dozens of churches and missions and ministries in Nigeria and around the world that we have cooperated with, we're most grateful. To Dr. Smith and the CIU, thank you very much for this very special honor. I want to share with you just three brief things. I live in Africa, so brief means something different there than it does here. These are from my profession, from my family, and from my spiritual life. I had a fourth one, but I had to cut it out because of time. The first of these is a passage of Scripture. I served as a pastor for 8 years and an academic for 36 years. And some years ago, I discovered this passage, Proverbs 25:2, and it's been my professional verse over these years. It says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings." And I often tell my students, you can do something that God cannot do. They look a bit shocked. They say, okay, yeah, we can sin. God cannot sin. I said, no. You can do something good that God cannot do. Well, that really gets their attention. What good thing can you do that God Almighty cannot do? You can learn. God cannot learn anything. Is he going to learn his multiplication tables? I struggle with that, but I don't think God has to worry about things like that. So this passage says, since God cannot learn anything, he enjoys concealing things. It is the glory. It's his enjoyment. He gets satisfaction out of concealing things. But the second part of the passage says, It is the glory of kings to search out a matter. Even if you are a king and you've reached the pinnacle of success, there is nothing more glorious, more enjoyable, more fulfilling than to learn. It was probably 25 years ago, I was in Amsterdam Airport along with my daughter, Laura, who was probably 15 at the time or younger. And we ran into this three people that dressed in Hausa clothing. This is the people from northern Nigeria. So I went up and greeted them in Hausa, and they were very happy. And when you greet in Hausa, it's like you're carrying on a conversation. But I run out of Hausa pretty quickly, so we switch back to English. And what do you do in Nigeria? Well, I teach at the university. What do you do? He said, I am the emir of Gombe. Now, in America, we don't have kings, but emir is a traditional term for a king. He's a king. So I wanted to make sure my daughter met a king. And so she met the king. And he said, come see me sometime. So a few weeks later, I was doing a workshop for the Ministry of Education in Gombe, and I went to see him. And it's a long story. I wish I had time to tell you the colorful version. But the interesting thing, he invited me into this huge throne room, red carpet, lion skin with this lion head sticking up, big throne, and we sat down and we chatted. And I noticed something fascinating about this man. He asked me, he said, Dr. McCain, is it true you Christians only pray once a week? I said, no. In fact, we pray all the time. We can't even eat food without praying. And he said, Dr. McCain, is it true when children turn 18 years old in America, you kick them out of their home? I said, no, sir. Sometimes we'd like to do that, but that's not true. For 1 hour, this king asked me questions. He's the king. There's no king too. I mean, there's no promotion. And so the most glorious thing he can do is search out and discover truth. God has given me the greatest profession because all my life I've had the privilege of searching out, learning. If learning is the greatest privilege in the world, certainly the second greatest privilege must be teaching, because that's what we do, guide people in learning. My challenge to you, especially who are students, is I challenge you to take every opportunity to learn. Sit on the front row of your class. That's what I always did in all my classes. Ask questions. Learn all you can. You cannot do anything greater than search out and discover truth. Let's move on to a second issue, and it begins with a little story. Again, perhaps 25 years ago, I was driving from Jos to Kano in northern Nigeria to take an international flight. And I had a missionary family with me, and I was telling them about an exciting new project that we were involved in trying to develop. And this missionary lady sitting in the back seat, she said to me, oh, Danny, they won't let you do that. I turned around and said to her, too often we Christians defeat ourselves by anticipating the negative answers of other people. And I've taught my children, never defeat yourself by anticipating the negative answers of others. Now let's do something very African. I want you to repeat that after me. Never defeat yourself by anticipating the negative answers of others.
Never defeat yourself by anticipating the negative answers.
Ah, you're pretty good Africans. That's well done. I don't know who they are, but they have kept a lot of people from doing a lot of good things because they have discouraged. And my challenge is, no, we can't allow that. God gives us visions, and we push those things, even if it's difficult. On the video, you heard a little bit about some of the things we've done. God gave us his vision some years ago that there are Jewish studies and centers of Islamic studies in many universities, even in Europe and America, where there's this big separation of religion. Our idea was, why can't we do the same thing? We don't need to start religious studies. Why can't we go start departments of Christian studies? And as Dr. Smith referred, we went to a university initially that had no religious studies department. And we started this Christian studies unit. And we trained pastors and missionaries and others. And in my 32 years of in Nigeria, we have trained hundreds of pastors and missionaries and deacons and elders and Bible translators, all in the public university, where we didn't buy any land or build any buildings. We didn't hire any secretaries. We had theological neutrality. We avoided visa problems because we're civil servants. We work for the Federal Republic of Nigeria. They said you couldn't do those kinds of things, but God has demonstrated himself mighty that you can do amazing things. Nigeria teaches religious education in public schools. And so for the last 26 or 7 years, we've developed programs. We've in helping to support and encourage these people who are paid by the government to teach the Bible in public schools. Nobody in Nigeria. Everybody just look past those people. But the average Bible teacher teaches 247 students per week. And in the south, it's a lot more than that. 10,000 teachers paid by the government, and we have an opportunity to influence those people. And many of the places we've done this are in the northern Nigeria, where the government is controlled by Muslims. In 1999, we hoped HIV would bypass us in West Africa. Unfortunately, it did not. And so the Lord laid on me that I needed to get involved in that battle. So I called my most senior Muslim colleague to my house one night day, and I said, if we don't create some kind of faith-based approach to HIV prevention, somebody else is going to create one, and you and your people are not going to like it. And so we started working to develop a curriculum and developing manuals and developing training programs. And we have done these things under the sponsorship of the government in 14 of our states. We've done training programs in 40 colleges of education in Nigeria. We have gotten contracts from the government for hundreds of thousands of dollars to train their people in a faith-based approach that teaches abstinence. They say you couldn't do that. But with the help of God, you can do mighty things. And that's my challenge to you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't defeat yourself by anticipating what they are going to tell you you can't do. I challenge you to ask God to give you a big picture of things. If you do that, there are going to be two responses. Number one, it's not going to be easy. When I was here, Mr. Hatch taught us about God's ways. You know, God's ways are not our ways, the Bible tells us. And he had a class and he told us two important things. Number one, when God works on this earth, he always works through human beings. He doesn't send angels down here to do his work. If anything is going to be done, if this school is going to be improved and grow, it's going to take human effort. Now, we don't believe human effort alone, but we believe in the principle of the feeding of the 5,000. God takes our weak and imperfect efforts, and he multiplies them. The second thing that Mr. Hatch taught us, that God always works the hard way, the slow way, the difficult way, the painful way, the way that's opposite of the way we do things. Anybody remember him making that speech? That's the way God works. I live in an atmosphere that's influenced by the prosperity gospel and everything. God wants everything to be easy for you. That's not quite the way it works. It takes... Our life is a testimony that life is not easy. Our first son died from spinal meningitis. That was not an easy experience. We have had armed robbers in our home 3 different times. I've been shot at close range. I've been kicked in the face. We have gone through 5 experiences of conflict. With 2,000 or 3,000 people have died within 15 miles of my house from these conflicts. I've probably heard more gunfire than my daughter in the military has heard. Life is not easy. But if you want a boring, average life, no problem. Just pray that God will keep you somewhere safe. But if you want to live a fulfilled, meaningful life, He is going to put you in places where there's risk and there's difficulty and there's pain and there's suffering and there's confusion. Number two, if you live this kind of life and you do these kind of projects, they're not always going to be successful. I'll tell you a little secret if you won't tell anybody. I've had lots of projects who fail. I've said that over the years, so 2 or 3 days ago, I went and decided I would evaluate that and see if that's really true. I have a projects file on my computer. It has 93 projects in it that I've been in heavily involved. I've initiated most of those. And I graded myself. I'm a school teacher, so I gave myself a grade. I was pretty generous to myself. I have six projects that are so new, I cannot yet evaluate them. But I had 26 projects. I would give myself an A. They have succeeded very well. To God be the glory. I have 14 projects that have done pretty good. I'm proud of them. I give myself a B. I've had 10 projects that were pretty average. I've had 11 projects that weren't worth the effort. A little bit of good, maybe. You know how many projects I've had that have failed completely? 26. The same number that have succeeded well. What does that say to us? It says if you want to have lots of successes, you have to try lots of things. You have to be willing to fail. As impossible as it may seem, the Apostle Paul tried to convert Agrippa to Christ. He was on defense, but he went on the offense. And Agrippa says, do you think that such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul was not successful, but he still tried. And I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, when God gives you a vision, try it. There's no problem in failing. Jesus failed. One of his 12 disciples did not make it. If you try things others think will succeed, if you only try things others think will succeed, you'll live a pretty average life. If you try things that appear to have little hope of success, you'll have lots of failures, but you'll have more successes than you'd have otherwise. Let me tell you about one of my spectacular failures. Sometime around 2001 or 2002, somebody gave me a copy of the New Living Translation. I was fascinated by it. I loved the New Living Translation. I thought, this is the perfect translation for Nigeria, where people speak English as a second or third language. So I tried to figure out ways that we could get people to read it, and I finally came upon a brilliant idea. I thought it was brilliant. Why can't we get the New Living Translation revised in Africa by Africans for Africans? Remove the American idioms and that so forth. So I thought it was a great idea. I wrote a little project. I wrote to Kenneth Taylor, who was the translator of the Living Bible, the founder of Tyndale, and he wrote me back, said, it's a good idea. Well, give me more information. He suggested I do a pilot project, and we did a pilot project of Mark 1 through 6 in the book of Ephesians. And it was very small difference, only 1.9%. So I wrote it back. He said, I don't think I could convince my board to do this on such a small amount. And so I wrote him a passionate letter. When my wife saw it on the email, she said, I hope you didn't send that. Well, unfortunately, I did. And unfortunately, Kenneth Taylor died about that time. So a few months later, I went to see his son, Mark, who's was the president of Tyndale, to offer my condolences. And we started talking about this project, and he got excited about it. And so he said, well, so we started working toward it. He put it on the foundation agenda. And a few months later, I can't go into all the details, but his marketers didn't want to do the project for marketing reasons. So later, he invited me to come back and meet with his four marketers. We met in Kenneth Taylor's office. And for 2 hours, I gave them my best shot at why we needed to do this project. and I was a spectacular failure. Right at the end, one of them stood up and said, McCain, we like you. We like your passion. We like, but this is not going to work. But he said, I'll tell you what. You mentioned that you might could do a study Bible if you did this. You could create a study Bible. He said, I think we could support that. 7 years later, the Africa Study Bible, written in Africa by Africans for Africans. 343 African writers from 43 African countries in English, French, Portuguese, Arabic, Swahili, and Amharic, all in Africa by Africans. Spectacular failure. That turned into an incredible blessing. My time is finished. Let me add one third very brief scripture. I gave my life to Christ when I was 14 years old. I haven't really had a life verse, but if I would have had it, it would have been this one because it's been a guiding verse. It's found in Romans 6:11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Two parts of that verse. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make sure we're dead to sin. We leave sin back there. But let's be alive to God. That is the heart and essence of CIU. Since long before I came here, to be alive to God, to know Christ. When I went back to my PhD program, I made three commitments. Number one, I would not allow the PhD to interfere with my family. My family is more important than any PhD. Number two, I would not allow the PhD to interfere with my health. None of this staying up all night doing stuff. That's silly. My health is more important than any PhD I could ever get. And number three, my spiritual life, my relationship with Jesus Christ is more important with PhD. I am not going to skip my devotions. I'm not going to miss church service. In all those 5 years, I never missed a single church service, a prayer meeting, a revival service, because that is more important than a PhD. And my challenge to you here in Columbia, our alumni, our students, our staff, is make sure, commit yourself to being dead to sin and alive to God. Thank you very much for this wonderful honor you've given to me and all those who've supported our ministry over the years. And I pray that God will bless you. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for Columbia International University, for the hundreds and thousands of students who've gone from this place to build up your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for the staff who have served faithfully and loyally here. We thank you for the board of directors that gives wisdom and guidance to this institution. We thank you for the administration and its president that gives direction and leadership and makes so many important decisions. We thank you for the alumni office that has been such a blessing to so many of us. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift that has come down from you over these years. And now we pray you would bless this institution. We pray it will continue on from one degree of glory to the next. And teach us, Lord, how to know you and to make you known. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Thank you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.